Welcome back to Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. We last spoke with Jen Miller on a Fit for You segment. She tackled the myth of the runner's body. Her popular article in the New York Times, Crossing the Finish Line 25 Pounds Lighter, addressed Miller's journey through weight gain and loss while competing in marathons.
This time, Miller is with us to talk about her latest book, Running, A Love Story. It's a candid account of her lifelong relationship with running and an exploration of the many ways the sport carves a path to empowerment. Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski reached Miller on Skype to get the full story.
I'd written two travel guides before, and they presented me with an opportunity to write a third, and I thought, I think I have something more to say. And I'd been writing some essays for the New York Times and for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I had a couple in Runner's World, and they seemed to get a very strong reaction. So I thought, maybe there's more here. And the short version of the long story is the publisher contacted me about writing a different book about running. And for a lot of different reasons, that book never happened. So I decided that maybe I wanted to write a book about running, about what I wanted to write about. And I locked myself in a hotel room in January at the Jersey Shore facing the ocean. And I wrote the terrible first draft of what became Running, A Love Story. And I sold a very condensed short version in like an 800-word essay to the New York Times called Running is Therapy. And the reaction was so huge and overwhelming, positive, I mean, some people negative, but that's the internet, that I decided maybe I should take a crack at writing a whole book about it, and here we are.
This is more of a therapeutic writing, even for you and even for the reader as well. So to begin, how did your relationship running start and evolve through your childhood into adulthood? Because there's two very different pictures there.
Oh, yeah. I hated running. I was that person who said, I only run when chased, that sort of thing. I was a two-sport athlete in high school, and running was something that you did when you were punished. So in softball, if we messed up, we had to do sit-ups, push-ups, and run a lap around the outfield. Soccer, suicide sprints, that sort of thing. I never liked to run for the sake of running because it just felt boring and it was hard. I needed something to chase sort of thing. And my dad would make me run a lap around the block before soccer started as quote unquote conditioning, which is what running was called when boxers did it to get in shape. And it was always in August in New Jersey, which is much like Florida in August, and just gross and humid and everything hurt and everything felt weird and just awful. I hated it. I hated it so much. So when I went to college, I decided not to play a sport and gained the freshman 15 and thought that, well, you know, I'll start working out to get back in shape. And I walked into the gym, and if you've never seen an elliptical machine, the first time you look at it, it's like, what is that? So I decided to go running outside, and I made the mistake of trying to run in Florida at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Don't ever do that. It's terrible. It just threw me back into those times running around the block when I didn't want to. And I quit. And I didn't come back to running until I was a freelance journalist and a magazine paid me $750 to train for a 5K. And the angle was that I would use a new fancy thing called an online running coach, which was new then. This was 2006. And that it would be funny because I hated running. And that's how I got the assignment. And that's sort of where I learned how to run and started to appreciate what this great thing is.
Well, and in that first 5K experience, you wrote that running is controlled falling and that it took a long time to start feeling like you were enjoying it versus the first 5K training when it seemed frightening and almost violent, as you described it. So what was that process like?
So at the time that I trained for that first 5K, I was in a really terrible relationship with a manipulative alcoholic who had been my friend when he was sober, but then when he fell off the wagon, started to be that guy that your friend is dating who you want her to get away from. So he was like two different people. When he was sober, he was the guy that I knew. When he was drunk, he was this monster, but I couldn't stop thinking about the good guy that he once was. And after he broke up with me, when he told me, he left me for somebody else, and he told me that he'd keep me in the top eight of his MySpace friends, I fell into a depression because not just that happened, but my grandfather, who I was very close with, passed away. And I bought a house, which was quickly followed by the recession. When you're a self-employed writer, that's really bad. So one day I couldn't get up off the ground. And this was pre-Affordable Care Act insurance days, so I didn't have any mental health coverage. So I decided to train for a 10-mile race. And that was when it really stuck. When I got to training past 5 miles, I started to feel the mental benefits of running. That's, I don't quite get a runner's high, but I call it brain blanking. I get into that space that's almost like right before you fall asleep. It's that weird twilight space. And that's when I really started thinking there might be something to this running thing, and I was off.
Well, and how your running started after the end of a bad relationship. This book goes into the ebb and flow of several past relationships that were not very beneficial for you mentally and in some cases physically. So how did running during all this make you feel about yourself, both after relationships, during these relationships? Because you accomplished a lot in training and participating in races, yet your personal life was kind of on the verge of disintegrating at times. So how did your view of running change throughout all this? Because you still kept up with it.
Right. And, you know, this is a 20-something story, even though it goes into my 30s of these tumultuous times when you're really trying to figure out who you are and what you want. And running was something that I first used to get past something and continued to in the instances in this book. But eventually I came to realize that the constant was running, that it was always going to be there, even when everything else was sort of falling apart. For the same reason that I used it after the recession, it's something that I can control. And when running's going really well, that helps. When running's not going really well, that sometimes doesn't help. But I've gotten to the point that if running's going badly, I don't feel bad about it as much anymore because I found so much strength in it. And I've come to rely on it to be sort of just something that's more part of my daily life. It's just something that's constantly there. And I wrote a story for the New York Times that came out this year called The Breakup Marathon about people who have used running like I did to get over divorce, breakups, broken engagements, that sort of thing. And it does become something that a tool that people use to sort of deal with their stress, give them a break from these bad things that are happening in their personal lives. But eventually running becomes more a part of their regular lives and their routine instead of this, well, I'm going to run away or work on a problem sort of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. When you mentioned there was one point where you were injured and you couldn't run and didn't have that release. And you said that you bloomed in anger, you know, because you didn't have that run to get your headspace to, you know, release your aggression. And it seems now you have a better relationship with that. But say theoretically you were injured again or you couldn't run like you used to. How do you think you would find that release now?
Well, the main race in Running a Love Story is the 2013 New Jersey Marathon, after which I nearly broke my foot. And I actually was out of running for like 4 or 5 months after that incident. And you know, this obviously is in the book because the book ends sort of on that finish line. And I didn't get so angry. I just was like, well, I hurt my foot. I will be back. I think that's the other thing I realize is that I'll be back. It will come back. You know, it's a temporary setback. And I've also, I don't just run. I bike a little bit now and I lift weights. So sometimes it's just about getting that physical activity. And I hike a lot now too versus running because it's just, I feel like it's part of a more complete picture in my life, not something that I'm desperately need in order to be feeling well about myself.
That's a good way to put it. And compared to one of your articles in the New York Times about your weight gain and loss while running during this period, this book doesn't go into it at all, if not at length. You mentioned some of the struggles with food and exercise and eating right in college. So do you think adding the element that you covered during your article would have been too much on top of the emotional experiences you were telling in this book about your relationships personally and then your relationship with running?
Well, I had I finished the manuscript before I wrote that story, and the weight gain happened after the context of the book. So the book starts, the bulk of the book is my 20s, and I finished the New Jersey Marathon, and then 3 years happened before this book came out. So that story we talked about before where I put on some weight and then lost those 25 pounds, I actually started the process of losing the 25 pounds after I turned the manuscript in. So it didn't quite fit in that story. Maybe I'll write about it again at some point. But timing-wise, I mean, books take forever to be published. So I was glad that I had an opportunity to further explore the weight issue in an article because by then the book was, you know, in copy editing and legal edit and layout. And I was looking at 5 different covers and all that sort of stuff about publishing that people don't really think about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then going into the struggles that you had personally, mentally, you mentioned you used it as a type of therapy. And of course, you mentioned in the book, like, this is not a certified therapist,
right.
But of course it helps people. So in writing about these struggles, did you want to send a message to people and women in particular or anyone in bad relationships that here's this situation? It took me a long time to realize how to get out of it.
Yeah. I had a couple people who read the book as I was writing it. And not just my editor or my agent, some writers and editors who I really trusted. And one was a male, because I wanted to see what a guy would think of this book, because I knew it was going to be marketed to women, which made total sense. And he said that he recognized his former relationship in it. And there's been a lot of emails about that. Like, I didn't think my experiences were unique. I just didn't expect it to touch so many people. And I wanted to show that these bad things can happen, but you can get through it. And running just happened to be the thing that helped me. There's a lot of other things, obviously. I got a negative review of the book because the person did not like what happened. I didn't like what happened.
Right.
But the point of writing about it is to show that, yes, these things happened, and I'm not innocent in that they all happened, you know, because I made decisions that led to these things happening. But here's what I managed to do despite all of that happening, and running was a key part of it. So that's sort of what the message is.
Well, and what was your favorite experience in writing this? You mentioned through your journey with running, your mom also started running and is competing in races and trying out various other things. But was there anything that stuck out to you, you know, even as a writer, that challenged you in a way, or just was a nice refreshing change of pace to do this kind of project?
So my first two books were travel guides, which were great and exhausting to write. So I treated them like lots of little articles. This was challenging because there is a lot of reporting in this book, but to write at this length about myself was so hard. and that might sound like I'm bragging, but no, really. I mean, I had to go back and research my life. So, you know, I've run these races and you think that you're going to remember all this stuff off the top of your head, and no, you don't. And I interviewed other people who were part of this story and comparing their memories to mine and, you know, talking to race directors about what happened. And the 2012 Chicago Marathon, which is in the book, I barely remember. And that became part of how I wrote about it, was that it didn't go well. So I don't really remember what happened, but I interviewed five other people who ran that marathon to get their experiences too. It was sort of a lesson in memory being faulty. And how much work goes into a book like this. So there's been some stories, you know, lately about people who fabricate things in books or they never went back and fact check. And I thought about all the time I spent making sure every single little detail, down to the kind of plants that are along the dunes at the Jersey Shore at the end of March. Like, I worked so hard on all those little things and I made two mistakes, but, you know, they're minor and only one person noticed them each. I think I had a greater appreciation for what these long nonfiction books take, and it was exhausting. I went on a long road trip after this was done because I needed to get out of my own head.
Right. Now that the book is done and you're sharing it with people and you're running and trying some other things, and you said you're at a better place in your relationship with running, that it'll always be there and you're not necessarily looking to beat a PR in every single race. So is there one lesson that you've had solidified in yourself, either with running or in writing, that you keep in mind after you've had this experience of writing the book that you want to share with other people?
If you think it's too hard, do it. Now, I'm not saying like try to jump across a bridge or, you know, try to jump from one building to the other. I was scared to write this book because it's obviously incredibly personal. My mom read it. My dad read parts of it. My grandmother read it. My friends have read it. Like, close friends of mine had no idea that this happened. So that's frightening. But I'm glad I did. The reaction has been mostly positive, except for the person who said she didn't like what happened. And it's opened up some conversations with people, either if there's been stories written about it or talking about women in running. It's just been a positive thing. And I think that's the case with running, too. So I didn't want to run a marathon because it scared me. And now I've run six. I didn't want to run a 1 mile road race because sprinting scared me. And I did it. And I wrote about it. I'm glad I did. And I've written some other stories that I was scared to write about, and I'm glad that I did. And the losing 25 pounds one is a story I fought against writing because I didn't think anybody would care. Or I didn't want to write about women and weight because that's such a touchy issue. So I just wrote another like 3,000 word essay about something that I was scared to write about, and I wrote it anyway, and I'm trying to sell it right now. So I hope that it sells. Those are the things that I get the most reaction from. I mean, I've gotten emails from people who read my book and signed up for their first race. So if that's the kind of response this book is getting, that's great. I'm glad that I took the risk and took the shot, and I'll keep taking those risks until somebody says no.
Well, I want to thank you for writing down and sharing your personal experiences and coming on A Lake Effect to talk about it with us.
Sure. Thank you for having me back.
Jen Miller is a freelance writer based in New Jersey. Her latest book is called Running a Love Story. There's more information about Miller and all of her work at WUWM.com.